something a little different, but special, I think, and hopefully a blessing to you. Next week, Lord willing, we'll pick up in 1 Peter chapter 5, and then the weeks after that, there's going to be a three-part mini-series on the wise men, and specifically their gifts. We don't know if they're three wise men or not, but traditionally, that's what we think of it. So we're going to examine those three gifts before we reach our Christmas Sunday at the end of December. So what are we doing this morning? Well, we're going to read some scripture. In particular, in just a few moments' time, I am going to read us through the entirety of 1 Peter. Why are we going to do this? Well, in the Old Testament, in Nehemiah chapter 8, you're welcome to turn there if you want to, but there's an account of the reading of scripture and the impact that it had on the people. In fact, if you would go back into the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, it talks about when the Israelites were to come into the land of Israel, they actually were supposed to appoint a time where they just read the entire law, so like portions of Exodus and then all of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Like, you can imagine that would take hours, and it did. And here in Nehemiah, we have this return to the land after a season of rebellion. The Lord put into the hearts of two Gentile kings a desire to honor his name and to support some Jewish people in their lands, to return to the land of Israel. Nehemiah to rebuild the gate and the city, and Ezra, among others, to help rebuild the temple. And we're finding in Nehemiah chapter 8 this event when the people gather together to read the law of Moses. So notice in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, you read this, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah, and on his right hand and on his left hand Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam." I'm sure I butchered some of those names. I'm glad they're not here to correct me. "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Yeshua and Danai and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hoja, Masida, Keliah, Azariah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleiah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. The people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sentence and caused them to understand the reading." I read those names because they're in God's word and God chose to record them. But he also recorded all of scripture for our benefit and for our enjoyment, our instruction, and our understanding. And I thought that this morning we would take an opportunity just to hear the entire book of 1 Peter in context. So not taking a chunk at a time and analyzing, which is obviously excellent, there's an understanding component, but just to hear the whole letter as it might have been written, read out loud to the people to whom it was delivered, and it would have been read in the church. Now, I was thinking to myself, okay, 15 minutes of reading, my children, are they going to pay attention the whole time? So I thought, how can we make this a little bit more interactive? So, when I first came to Bonshaw, I distinctly remember a first service, where Jonathan had done this quizzing session. Now, you guys have been working through the book of Genesis, and then there was this, like, left side versus right side. It was a lot of fun, just permanently enshrined in my mind what this congregation was all about. We're not going to do anything quite as elaborate, but I have here some questions. They're literally going to come out of the passage. You're going to kind of be looking at the question, listening, and then, oh, there it is, and you're just going to write the answer on the right-hand side. And they're in order. I'm not going to make it that hard on you. We're going to be scrambling all over the paper trying to find it. So there's also, as a hint, there's three per chapter. So if you're into chapter two and you haven't got the first three, kind of give up and move on to the next batch. But maybe this is a tool that will just help you kind of keep attention, especially the little ones. I know my children were kind of excited by this. So I'm going to ask my dynamic duo at the back, Cedric and Christopher, to come up here and hand out sheets. The other thing I'm going to do a little bit different this morning is I'm actually going to read 1 Peter from the English Standard Version. My choice of scripture translation for memorization and for much of my reading is the King James, just because that's what it's been like in my life for such a long time. And I thought that perhaps this morning it might be helpful to hear it if you don't read the ESV from a different translation, something that might trigger your thoughts a little bit. I sometimes found a blessing in hearing it said a different way, and I'm like, I didn't realize that was kind of the direction of the tone or something to add to it. I'm going to read all of 1 Peter in the ESV. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobeyed the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. This is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Chapter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whosoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. 4. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and the malignant. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. God adds a blessing to his word this morning. Does anyone get 100% of the question answered? See some happy hands. All right. Well, maybe we'll just quickly run through this. I know we've gone a little over time, but maybe from among the under 18 crowd. Number one, what is the outcome of your faith?
Salvation for your soul.
Very good. Maybe from the left side of the room, from my perspective, with what were you ransomed?
Precious.
The precious what? Precious blood of Christ. The right side. What is the good news that was preached unto you?
Good news. Thank you.